Here it is, episode 86. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. This is the Bill and Wendy Show. Wendy, Halloween is the one time of year where things are really scary.
Can I tell you something? It's so funny you say that, because seeing all the Trump and Biden signs out in my neighborhood, I can't tell which is a Halloween decoration and which is like real life.
There's a house close to me that uses dummies and mannequins and things like that, and they act out little scenes in their lawn.
Really?
And they do it for all the holidays. Yeah. They do it for all the holidays. And it really, I mean, I don't remember when I was a kid, maybe the area by you was different, but people put it, they would put their Halloween decorations up a day or two before Halloween, and they would take them down as soon as Halloween was over. But now stuff is up for a month, and it's impressive. The people who do the display, it's very impressive.
Yeah, I didn't put any Halloween decorations up. In fact, I wanted to talk about trick-or-treating today, because that's coming up like this Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
It's supposed to be really nice.
Yeah.
Are you going to be answering your door?
You know, we've had a debate, Terry and I, because she told me, I didn't realize this, but there are ground rules in place, apparently, for what you're allowed and what you're not allowed to do in terms of distributing candy. And she said it was recommended. And I don't know if this is the city we live in or the state or the – I don't know who came up with this, but you're not supposed to have direct contact with anybody trick-or-treating with you, right? Do you know that?
Yeah, you need a candy chute.
A candy chute. Right.
I'm not kidding.
Which is it's a dream that I've had a million times in my life, and now it's a reality.
You need a candy chute. Do you have a candy chute?
We don't have a candy chute. I could mock one up. I could build something in the lab.
You say that jokingly, but all you need is a long PVC pipe.
Oh, all right. Let me check. Hold on. Let me check my supply of PVC pipes, see what's in stock. I don't have a long one. The biggest one I have, Wendy, is not even a PVC pipe.
Okay. First of all, you can go to the hardware store. It'll cost you maybe $10.
Okay.
And then you need some zip ties. I watched this video online, and you zip tie it to your railing, and then you stand up at the top, and you can slide stuff through. Can I tell you something? I found a PVC pipe in our basement, because before we got our basement permasealed, we had this drain that we had to screw on a PVC pipe to make a stand pipe so our basement wouldn't flood, and then it still flooded.
Oh.
So I have this PVC pipe. I'm not giving away full-size bars, so it's a smaller one.
Every kid gets one Skittle. Enjoy yourselves.
They do make a bigger PVC, a wider one, if you will, bigger circumference.
Yeah.
But I swear to God, I think I'm hanging a sign that says, Happy Halloween, we're not participating this year. I don't feel like doing this.
What does PVC stand for, by the way? Do you know?
Polymer variegated, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
You got 66% of the way, Wendy. That's impressive.
Why, you know?
No. I have no idea what it stands for. And I throw that term out 1,000 times a day. You'd think I'd look it up, but nope.
All right. Well, I have to look it up. I can't continue the show.
Right. America wants to know, what does PVC stand for? But doesn't it seem, I mean, I know that for most kids, Halloween is one of the biggest days of the year, but it just seems like a lot of work this year to build scaffolding and piping and stuff like that just to give a kid a fun size Snickers, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't think I'm doing it. By the way, it stands for polyvinyl chloride.
Oh.
It's a synthetic thermoplastic material made by polymerizing vinyl chloride.
Well, I know that. Everyone knows that.
They use it for plumbing. And I do have one. I don't want to stand on the porch and wait for kids to come by and then say, put your bucket at the end. Let me slide it down.
It does seem like a bit much, doesn't it?
Okay, you're laughing, but what are you going to do?
I don't know. Somebody told Terry that if you're not going to participate, you have to turn all your lights off. Like what we do when in-laws are in town, you know, you just pretend you're not in the house, you're out shopping or something like that. But I think this year, I think you should just be able to opt out of it easily and with no questions asked. You know, just say, I'm afraid of giving anyone the virus. I don't want anyone to get it. I don't want to get it myself. So let's put a stop on it for a year.
Well, so what, are you going to put a sign that says all that?
Yes. Yes. Well, you know my costume this year, right? I'm Sexy Fauci. You know that. I just think that that'll scare the kids off, that we won't need to go any deeper than them seeing me.
Okay, Mr. Funster, I'm serious. What are you going to do? Because I am at a loss right now. I don't want to participate.
I don't know. There's so much going on that even if my kids were still of trick-or-treating age, I would talk them out of it this year. I would say, why don't we... Let's see how things look next year. Here's some money. Let's go buy some candy. Wouldn't that be better?
Yeah, I was going to ask you if your kids were at trick-or-treating age, what you would have done. I think this is a good idea for parents that are listening. Why don't you have a Halloween candy hunt, much like an Easter egg hunt, but hide candy in your house and let them find it. Make some chili, carve a pumpkin, make some of those cool cookies that, you know, you just slice them and there's little ghosts and pumpkins on
them.
Yes. That is a perfect Halloween.
That's pretty good. So, you know, last year was a bad Halloween. Remember, last year was the real cold year. It was snowing and icy and everything at the same time.
Yeah.
And I know kids got ripped off on that Halloween. And I know it's really harsh if it's 2 years in a row. But with everything that's going on, even as a kid, as selfish as I was for a thing like Halloween candy, I would just go, yeah, it's probably best we sit this one out.
Aren't you curious how many kids are going to be walking around?
Yes. Yes.
So, again, I'm asking you this. Are you just going to turn your lights off and not participate? Are you going to go get candy? You're not answering me.
Usually by this time, Terry has purchased a bunch of candy. We don't have any yet. I know we still have, what do we have, 3 days to go? So my guess is we'll probably buy a couple bags, not what we usually get, but some. But there just seems too much at risk this year.
You don't have a candy chute. Are you going to just whip it at the kids? Again, you're not answering me.
I think if we had a candy chute, I could use it all year round. I wouldn't just use it for Halloween. If I was just out in the yard doing anything, I'd go, it's time for a payday, and just put my mouth under the chute and get one.
Well, someone has to be at the other end putting it in.
Oh, there's no way to work it so it just releases candy whenever you want it?
All right, real life Willy Wonka, sure.
But I'm looking toward not just Halloween, but I was seeing I'm trying to remember what show this was a couple days ago. They were talking about whether or not Thanksgiving and Christmas will essentially be super spreader holidays, you know, because you'll be gathered with family and, you know, people are coming from different parts of the country and that could get messy if anyone does have it. And I'm already thinking ahead to Thanksgiving and Christmas going, Christmas especially is the big one for me. I'm nervous about having anyone over or going anywhere.
I just had this conversation with my mother-in-law yesterday. I said, what are we doing for Thanksgiving? And she said, well, here's what I think we should do. I'm not going to continue because it just takes so much effort. But she's from Southern Mississippi or Northern Mississippi. I don't know.
I should tell anyone new to the show, Wendy's mother-in-law is Flo from Alice.
She's from Corinth, Mississippi. I think that's Northern Mississippi. I don't know. So we were discussing what we were going to do, and she said maybe I should just make a turkey for my house, and you guys can have a turkey at your house, and maybe we should call the whole thing off.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, the problem is bringing... Like my sister and cousin, Jim's family, Jim's sister and husband, Jim's brother, and us, that's like, you know, four different households that are coming together. That's
right.
What the problem is.
Right.
And I'm not going to wear a mask while I'm carving. They also said if you are having family over, that one person should do all the serving. Not everybody should be grabbing the spoons and stuff. I just think... I'm going to make a turkey. I'm going to drop some off at my cousin's and my sister's. And then Jim's parents are going to make their own Thanksgiving. And maybe we'll try and organize a Zoom toast or something for everybody.
Yeah, something short, right?
But if I'm canceling Thanksgiving, which is my favorite of all time holidays,
yeah.
then damn these kids, they don't get to trick or treat.
Right. Why should you be the only one suffering?
I know. And then my mother-in-law said, well, for Christmas Eve, you guys, we'll do that for sure. You guys will come here. And I said, I don't know if that's a for sure.
Yeah, I know. I like that you're not wearing a mask for Thanksgiving because I've seen you, I've seen pictures of you at other years for Thanksgiving where you wear that V for Vendetta mask every year. It's very intimidating. Well, you know, I'm no fan of Thanksgivings, so sitting that one out doesn't do much to me or for me, but Christmas is huge. You know, both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we always have both sides of the family over at our place on Christmas Day. We go to my dad's on Christmas Eve. Everything's on hold. My dad, by the way, I don't know if I've told you this. My dad has decided that gambling boats are okay. Did you know this?
Oh, boy, no.
So he's been taking trips to the gambling boats, which I've tried everything in my power to talk him out of, unsuccessfully thus far. But everybody always goes, you know, it's younger people that can give it to older people. But I think in this case, and I certainly don't want my dad to get it. I don't want anyone to get it, but I don't want to get it from him.
Yeah. And I mean, I know they're operating at 25%.
The gambling boats?
Yeah. I think they could only allow 25% of their normal crowd in. Unless they're not adhering to the, and just if I may, you know, Governor Pritzker has now said that as of today, all my Cook County area, the numbers are high, so they're closing all the restaurants again.
Yeah,
they're doing it again in Chicago, and so my question is, if they're closing restaurants where you're only there for an hour, why are schools still open? Because you're there for a whole day. We had the option. Dylan is a senior in high school, and he could do hybrid, which is 2 days a week and then 2 days online or all online. He opted for the all online, and I have to tell you, I'm thankful because they're not ready to have this many people there for a full day.
Yeah, it's been a huge debate. I would do the same thing. I would do it from home. Just feel a bit safer that way.
But if they're, you know, if those areas, and then there are some restaurants that are saying, sorry, we're not going to close, and they're getting away with it. I don't really understand how anything works anymore. Are laws to be followed? What happens?
Everything's optional now.
Really? That's good to know.
It is. It's all optional now. Can I, as long as we're talking Halloween, I'm curious. I've never asked you this before. Your best Halloween costume ever. What's the one you're most proud of?
God.
Before you answer, I do want to say 2 years ago, you were Ozzy Osbourne and it was phenomenal.
I honestly think that was probably my best, and I'm glad you brought that up, because when I do something, I move on. I don't like to look back. So I don't remember. I mean, when I was little, I guess I really loved Halloween, but I always got hand-me-down costumes from what my older cousin wore, then my sister wore. So I was a devil 1 year. I was an angel 1 year.
No, for Halloween, Wendy.
I was a hobo because everybody was a hobo when we were growing up.
Now, I don't think now politically you can say hobos with a straight face, can you? I think that's offensive to the hobo community.
I think it is, but that's what I was at the time.
Yep. Everybody 1 year was a version of that, right?
Yeah, but you would take a bandana and you would tie it to an old broomstick and put rags in it so it looked like you could, you know, put it over your shoulder like you had your possessions in there.
Yeah.
My mom burned a cork and made, like, whiskers on me.
Are there not women hobos? Why, when portraying a hobo, would someone like yourself be a guy hobo and not a girl hobo?
You know what? That's a great question, and I should have stood up and been a feminist hobo back in
the day. Yeah, a hoboette.
Damn, I don't know the answer to that question. It was not an option.
It seems if hobos are going to continue, you got to have men hobos and women hobos, it seems.
Yeah. I was One year I was Raggedy Ann.
Oh, nice.
I shared a memory from 8 years ago where Jimmy Mack and I went to a Halloween party, and he was just in a white dress shirt with a black tie and black pants. He was Robert Palmer, and I was in a black skirt and high heels and a black top and my hair slicked back in a bun with a guitar, and I was the Addicted to Love girl with the red lipstick.
Oh, nice.
So I did that one year. I guess I did kind of like dressing up. But I hate Halloween. I hate everything about it. And the kids shouldn't have any candy if I can't have turkey.
Wow. That seemed borderline spiteful.
Yeah. I'd have to say my Ozzy Osbourne was my best costume.
That was insanely good.
I really looked like him.
Yeah. Just like him.
I forgot about that. All right. What was your best costume?
Oh, boy. I had some good ones. I was Colonel Sanders one year, and that was really good. I was, in first grade, I was Peter Pan, cause that was my favorite Disney movie. That was pretty good. Except, you know what I did? They gave me, my parents made the costume and they gave me a bag of glitter, which would represent the pixie dust, you know, the silver glitter. So like whenever I went into a new class, I would throw the glitter, and the teachers, they didn't like Peter Pan throwing glitter in the class.
Yeah. That would have been a pain. Did you wear,
you couldn't do that.
Did you wear tights?
Yes.
Wow.
And then on Halloween I did also. Also, I don't know if I've ever told you this. I think this may have come up at some time. For about 5 years, my friends and I would do theme costumes, and we wouldn't just trick or treat. We wrote like a 3-minute show that we would do at people's doors.
Wow.
You know? So one year we were the Marx Brothers. One year we were the crew of the Enterprise. One year we were Robin Hood and his Merry Men. One year, we were Star Wars characters. Who am I leaving out? Anyway, we would do these little 3-minute scenes, and instead of just getting candy, people went nuts and they gave us whatever. They just give, like, we got so much cool stuff because we put out a little extra effort.
Didn't you get a VW bus one year? Didn't somebody give you the keys to that?
Yes. The year we were Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead, somebody gave us an old. Van, yeah.
I was the Blues Brothers with Carla Felicia, which was pretty great because she is much shorter than I am. And I was Elwood and she was Jake. And
oh, I bet that was great.
That was pretty good. But I mean, it was pretty easy. It's just, you know, the hat, the black fedora hat, the sunglasses, a black suit, skinny tie.
Yep. Yep. Can I reemphasize? I've said this before, but it's a Halloween favorite. The saddest thing you can ever say to a kid on Halloween, and please, people, write this down, because never say this to a kid because it demoralizes them. When they come to the door and you open the door and you have the bucket of candy and you're giving it, don't say, oh, and what are you supposed to be? Because that crushes a kid forever.
Wah, wah. Debbie Downer.
Yep.
You can't do
because
that.
Because it says to a kid in a half a second, all the work I did both mentally and physically to put this together, and they don't know that I'm Peter Potamus. This is horrible.
Well, because he didn't do the hippo hurricane holler.
Hurricane holler?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
That was Wendy the year she was a kid without a roof of her mouth. Very popular costume back in the 70s. Who are you, the little girl with no roof on their mouth? Uh-huh. Candy. Yes, candy.
One more Halloween thing I want to tell you. I did finally see the zombie ad for Donald Trump.
What did you think?
It cracked me up.
Me too. But that shouldn't be, I don't think that should be the goal in a political ad, is to make you laugh, but it did make both of us laugh. It should be to get you to come over to their side and go, hey, vote for this guy and not that guy. But instead, I'm like, oh, that was pretty funny. And they did it during Walking Dead, even funnier.
Yeah, that's when I saw it. I was watching the third spinoff, The World Beyond. And I kind of had to, like, go back and rub my eyes, like, what did I just see? And yeah. I went back and watched it, and it made me laugh. And it's not your typical campaign ad.
No. I said on the show yesterday, what they're doing is they're it's for the Republican Party, for Donald Trump and the party, and they're comparing Joe Biden to a zombie by the way he walks and talks and acts. And I just went, wow, this is a very specialized commercial. Usually they're a little bit more broad, more vague, but in this one they're going, hey, zombie lovers or haters, Here's a guy who's acting like the characters in your favorite TV show. You're going to vote for him?
That was pretty clever, I have to admit. Yeah,
I thought so too. Here's something weird. There's a girl who grew up on the same block that I grew up on. And I've lost track of her. I mean, she moved away in grade school, but, you know, she was a nice kid. We palled around together when we were little kids. She lived a few doors away from me. So the other day I was driving through Elmhurst and I see on the side of the road signs with her name on it that she's running for state representative. So I come home, I go, oh, that's so cool. I knew she got into law when she was in college, but not much beyond that. But then I saw a TV ad for her yesterday and they're pronouncing her name differently.
What?
So, yeah, is it okay to say her name or not?
Yeah, I don't care.
I can say her name, right? All right, her name is Jennifer. We knew her as Jennifer Zordani, but in the commercials yesterday, they were saying Jennifer Zordani. And I don't know if that's because they're saying it wrong or she's changed the pronunciation of her name, but I just thought that was very odd that for years and years and years, they were the Zordani family, and now it's Zordani.
Okay, well, that is a problem, because if I ever ran for something, they'd say Wendy Schneider, because everybody messes up my name. And then you wouldn't see me at the end saying, I approve this message, because they'd be saying my name wrong. So did she
What if you said that? I approve most of this message. Hey, somebody get my name right. Kevin.
Now, that would be funny, like the zombie commercial. See?
Right.
We need more frivolity during these campaign ads.
But don't you know, there have been people who at some point, like, remember Sarah Michelle Gellar for a while went to Sarah Michelle Gellar, and then she switched it back.
And I refused to call her Gellar because it was always Gellar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else?
But I know a couple of people who have done that where they just go, I think I'll get more respect or more admiration somehow if I pronounce my name. One of Terry's roommates in college changed the pronunciation of her name. And every time she would say her own name, Terry and all of her friends would just look at each other like, what is she doing? You can't just change the pronunciation of your name whenever you feel like it, can you?
But you kind of can.
I guess. I have two one-syllable names. I don't have a whole lot of options.
Well, you could always start going by Will or Billiam.
Oh, yeah. What if I paused between the Fs in my last name? It's Bill Leff.
You could do that.
I could do that, I guess. All right. I'm running for state's rep. That settles it.
Yeah, I have cousins who have changed their names, and I've grown up with them. One I called Sue all the time, and her real name was Natalie. So I don't know why we never called her Natalie, but she went by her middle name. And then all of a sudden, she's like, oh, I'm Natalie now. And I'm like, not to me. I can't.
That's right.
I can't change it. And then I have another cousin, Julie, her real name is Julia, and she wants to go by Julia. And I said, I can't. I mean, I've spent my whole life calling you Julie. I can't change that.
At what point in her life did she change it?
Probably she's our age. Probably about 10 years ago or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she was an adult. I also have this neighbor who I have been calling Pat forever, and I love Pat. And I was Jim was walking.
Is it the Pat I know?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you don't know this Pat. It's a girl, Pat.
I know a lot of Pats, Wendy.
Yeah, she was walking her dog, and Jim was out with Kona, and Pat's dog bit Kona. Very tiny dog, but I guess her dog didn't like Kona at all and kind of snapped at him, and she felt really bad about it. So she dropped off a card and some dog treats.
Was it signed by her dog or just her?
No, it was signed Trish.
What?
And I said, Jim, I thought you said Pat's dog bit Kona. And he said, that is who it is. And I said, well, who's Trish? So I saw her like a couple days later. I go, okay, Pat, Trish, whatever.
Hey, Sybil, come here a minute.
I got to talk to you. What's the deal? And she said, well, obviously my name's Patricia. And when I went to school, teachers just called me Pat. And I kind of went by it, but I never really liked it. So when I turned 50, I decided to change my name to Trish. And I said, well, good for you. But I have to think twice every time I see her now.
But don't you think at 50... That almost seems, not that you're not going to have a full life ahead of you at 50. You still got a bunch of great years ahead of you. But don't you go, this is more of a bother to everybody. You know, you should have thought of that at 15 or 16 or 20, maybe. Even then, it just seems like so many people have gotten accustomed to, you know, by one name, right?
You know what? When you're 50, Bill, you shouldn't be worried about what bothers everybody else.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, that's true. I still put everybody else before me, and I'm a little over 50. But hopefully when I hit 60, I'm just going to go, you know what? Screw all you guys. I am just going to worry about me from now on, and I want to be called Wenday.
Well, like Jack Kay?
Yes, that's who I was. Mary. That's who I was thinking about.
I'll make you a deal. If you change your name to Wenday when you turn 60, here's what I'll do. When I turn 60, I will change my name to Dr. Saperstein.
You'll do that anyway.
I was going to do that anyway.
Yeah, you know, I learned a lot from did you watch This Is Us yet?
I did.
Okay, I learned a lot from Randall. It's like, you know what? I'm exhausted about worrying how everyone else feels. I'm going to start worrying about how I feel.
Yeah.
It was such an amazing... Listen, I love that show so much. And this show, it was a two-hour opener. I won't give anything away in case you haven't seen it yet, because I know a lot of people record stuff and watch it on their own time. The eloquence, the charm, the passion, the sadness, the happiness, the everything, the topical current events involved in this two-hour premiere was just, it's the best television show I've ever seen in my life.
You know, there was a moment yesterday. Now, Keith, I have to explain this just a little bit. Yesterday, as the show was starting, This Is Us, and it was a two-hour episode. It went from 8 to 10 Central Time. It was the exact same time as Game 6 of the World Series. And I was watching This Is Us with my wife, and I thought to myself, if 11-year-old me just walked in the room right now and saw me watching This Is Us instead of the World Series, he would have thrown a Cheriola Cola in my face.
Well, boy.
What happened to you? You love baseball. What are you doing?
I actually had to watch it today because Jim was watching the World Series, and he reluctantly said, I guess you could watch. I said, no, you know what? It's 10:30. Just finish up the game. I'm going to bed. I'll watch it tomorrow. And I let him watch the baseball game. I mean, it's the World Series, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I kept switching, like, during commercial breaks of This Is Us, Terry would let me switch on to the World Series. And I saw what I needed to see. But you're right. It was a great episode. They did a great job of incorporating what's going on with the virus and with racial relations. And they had said a couple months ago that they were still going to stick to their course. This is the last season, right?
Oh, is it really?
I think it's the last season. But they said, we're still going to tell the story we wanted to tell, but we're going to incorporate what's going on in the real world more. And they did a really good job of it, because I have to think nearly every show right now is trying to figure out, how do we address it? How much do we address it? What exactly do we say in terms of our characters? Like, I was thinking, would other shows, any show, you know, pick a show over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years that was popular, would Friends have addressed it? Would it have been a one-time episode thing, or would it have been throughout the whole season? It's a tough call.
I meant to tell you, I, in the past, had always been a fan of Roseanne Barr. And then she just became Roseanne. And then Roseanne had a reboot, which I was really kind of into. And then she did stupid stuff and was fired off of her own show. So the show Roseanne has turned into The Conners. And I have to tell you the truth, I don't miss Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a great job. And they have also incorporated the virus in their season opener of this season, where the virus is around, they're wearing masks. I like it because, dude, we're all in this together. It's not going to end anytime soon as the numbers are spiking again. I think it's a great idea to incorporate it.
Now, you have to tell me, because I've not seen any of the episodes of The Conners this season, but the thing that I liked the most about it, about the reboot of it, was the thing that most people didn't like, which was they were on opposite sides of the tent politically. You know, Roseanne and Dan, for the most part, were pretty much on the right, and the kids, for the most part, were on the left. And there was a lot of infighting with especially Jackie and Roseanne, her sister. So have they continued that without her, or have they just scrapped that idea?
No, it's not as prevalent, I guess. But, you know, Dan has he's dating someone from Peg Bundy from Married with Children.
Yeah. Katie
Seagal. Katie Seagal. She's great on it. Laurie Metcalf has always been my favorite. She's like an over actor in this, but she always has been. That's Jackie's neurotic character. And she's really good. Darlene and Becky, they have just done such a great job. They do touch on politics, nothing major, but it's stayed pretty true to what Roseanne's family was. And honestly, I loved her. When that show just started, honest to God, I couldn't get enough of her.
Yeah.
I didn't mind when she grabbed her crotch when she was singing the national anthem at a baseball game, you know, because I thought it was funny. I did. But then she kind of...
Everyone did.
Do you think that's funny?
I don't know. I saw both sides of the fence on that because, you know, to the people making the argument that she was disrespecting the song in America, I can see that. But at the same token, I'm thinking to myself, but she's known for being outrageous, so she was being outrageous. Why are we shocked by that?
Yeah, I wasn't really that bothered by that. And I really was just kind of always her biggest fan and defender, and then I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't defend her anymore.
It got a little thick after a while, didn't it?
Yeah, and I just saw an episode of Quarantine. It's a podcast that Norm MacDonald has, and he's basically just sitting on his couch, and he calls his celebrity friends and talks to them. So they're on the speakerphone, and he's just sitting on his couch in quarantine talking to people. And he had Roseanne on recently. I don't know which episode, but there definitely the pandemic has been going on when he talked to her.
He was a writer on her show.
Yeah.
If you don't know or if people don't know. Yeah.
I did forget that. But they have a good rapport and they're talking and she's still a Looney Tune. But it's kind of funny. And he talked to, God, I can't remember who else. It wasn't Kevin Nealon. It was someone of that ilk that he talked to. Damn it, I can't remember. But if you're tooling around on YouTube, look up Quarantine with Norm MacDonald. It's kind of interesting.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's so good. So don't you think that on a show-by-show basis, as they're planning their upcoming season, and I'm talking about dramas, I'm talking about comedies, whatever the show is, they have to make some sort of a decision on how much of what's going on in real life can be or should be incorporated into the show? Because even though last night, like yourself, I was applauding them going, wow, talk about ripped from today's headlines. There's a bunch of stuff in the show that's going on right now. Good for them. But I think they also have to be conscious of the fact that it might not play well in syndication later on in reruns. It'll date it very, very much. You know what I mean? I mean, this is an earth-changing event, what's going on right now. But in 4 years or 5 years, when somebody sees it, will they want to relive it again? You know,
I think, and I could be wrong, I'm just trying to gauge my opinion on this. If I saw it in a rerun and they were talking about it, I think I would just go, God, that was really crappy. You know, hopefully we'll be beyond it by then. But again, we have talked about this so many times. But really, the truth is, when you're doing something that's not desirable, if you can see an end in sight, you can get through it. I'm taking my kids for flu shots today. They don't want to do it. But you know what? They're going to get the flu shot, and it's over after that. Then we go get orange chicken at what's the orange chicken place?
Well, that's Panda Express, Wendy.
I couldn't think of it.
Oh, God. No.
Oh, my God. I forgot Panda Express. So, but they, you know, it's like they're not looking forward to getting a flu shot, but it's a flu shot. It's over, and you move on. The pandemic, Bill, honest to God, I can't. Can you predict exactly a year from today, October 28th, 2021, what we're going to be doing and what the world's going to look like?
Nope, not even close.
And that's what's freaking everybody's stuff.
Yeah. But from the TV end of it, I think prior to the virus, the biggest thing that's happened in the last 20 plus years or around 20 years was 9/11.
Yeah.
And I don't remember that being incorporated into any shows. Can you think of a show that kind of took that on as a story arc at all? I mean, I know that it was a much shorter span of time than what we've experienced with the virus, but I don't remember any dramas or any show taking on 9/11 and making that the centerpiece of part of their show, part of the, a couple of episodes at all. Do you?
No, I don't. And I think the difference is that broke us. I mean, we as a nation, we were broken after that. And there was no one really wanted to relive it except for, you know, memorializing it and never forgetting it. But this is, I guess our life changed then a little bit as well. I mean, it changed significantly, but not where our behaviors changed every day. You know, this is just something. Since March, we've all been in our houses and not doing what we've wanted to do and wearing masks and looking for toilet paper. Actually, that's okay, but now I can't find paper towels.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's we're all living this. I think it's okay to do it in a TV show.
Yeah, I believe me, when I saw it yesterday, I thought, wow, it's really a brave move for them to incorporate all this. And like I said, the writers had said, you know, this is too big to ignore and we really need to address it in the season. And, you know, it was only two episodes last night. It was 2 1-hour episodes, but they incorporated it very nicely. It was still telling the story that they had intended, but with the added bonus that it's very real. You know, they're talking about, you know, how their behavior patterns are changing because of the virus and showing it. It was really good.
And the most touching moment in that whole episode, and this is a bit of a spoiler alert, so I will give people time to either cover their ears, put earmuffs on, do whatever they want to do.
I'm going to get some toast while you tell this part, all right?
To put over your ears?
Yes. I know when I was a kid, they used to make fun of me and call me old toasty ears, but it makes for pretty good earmuffs, the toast.
all right, I won't get into it as much as I want to, but there was a moment between Kate and Randall discussing the racial issues that are going on currently, and Kate being upset about how things are going on right now, and Randall saying, basically, this is nothing new. I've been upset about this forever. It was that was such a monumental moment in that episode for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, it did a couple of things. And again, I'm going to be very, very careful to not give away too much for people who did not see it or don't watch the show or anything. But it really gave a very true depiction on his side of saying, you know, I'm closer to this than you are. So believe me, this has been lingering. It's not a new thing. But then I also felt some empathy for her because I can't tell you how many times I've just wanted to apologize for people for nothing I've done directly, but to just say, I know things aren't fair and I'm sorry. And I don't want it to be taken the wrong way because I mean it sincerely. There's just some people are treated differently. It doesn't make sense. But just because of their heritage, it should never be that way. You shouldn't be treated differently because of your skin color, or your sexual proclivity or anything like that. But for some reason, it's been done that way for so long and it's hard to change it. I hope it changes. It is. I keep thinking we're making progress, but then things happen and I go, oh, maybe we're not.
Well, that's how I feel. And I could totally relate to Kate, to her character, because, you know, my kids are at an age where this is making an impact on them. And they're like, why wasn't any of this taken care of before? And mom, why are you so outraged now? Where were you before? And it's like, I don't have the answer to that question.
Yeah.
I mean, in my mind, I thought, you know, with civil rights and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that this was handled. It was so not handled, you know, and I don't know if it's just out of sight, out of mind, where it didn't affect me personally. But I can totally relate to how Kate feels because I'm outraged. I don't know why I wasn't before.
Do you think it's maybe because, and this is just a suggestion, I don't have the answers, but our attention spans at this point are just shot to hell, you know? Do you remember when the bridge collapsed several years ago and everybody goes, hey, we better fix our bridges or bridges are going to collapse all over the place? And you heard about it for 3 days. And then on the fourth day, you heard about it a little bit. On the fifth day, you didn't hear about it at all. And now a couple years later, nobody fixed any bridges. It's like that with almost everything. Our attention spans are such to where when something glaring happens, we go, what are we doing? We got to fix this. And then another story comes along and you push it aside and nothing gets done.
Was that the name of the movie, Wag the Dog, or just the saying that they used? Because I saw that when it came out a million years ago. I don't even know when that came out. And that's really what happens is something else happens and overshadows what we should be worrying about.
Yeah. And in the movie Wag the Dog, they alluded that those things that come along are kind of designed to make you think about something new. And I think there's an element of that.
I do too. But yeah, I guess it's our attention span, but it's also just this social media. We're bombarded by so many things. I watched that Ken Burns Vietnam documentary. I know I talked about this years ago when it came out, but I couldn't stop watching it. And I think it's 10 hours. And I just pretty much binged that thing and couldn't focus on anything else in my daily life until I finished it, because I was horrified at things I was never taught in history class. It's like I couldn't even believe it. And that's how I feel with what's going on in the civil unrest right now. I feel what's happening now, we're seeing it so much because there are videotapes, kind of thankfully, so people can see what's happening out there. And until like you could view it with your own eyes, I think you just kind of said, oh, it can't be that bad. I'm sure it's better. I mean, I don't know. We've been lied to. Things have been swept under the rug. I just am shocked that things have not improved since the whole civil rights movement. I really am.
Well, look at all the incidents in the past. I was going to say the past 6 months or the past year or the past 5 years. But as long as people have been have had better access to record things, all of a sudden there just seems to be this nonstop barrage of all these horrible things. So those things were probably always happening. We just didn't have the chance to see them. And now that we've seen them, maybe that's the wake-up call to go, okay, it's not just a story that comes and goes in a day or two. It's real, and it's piling up at an incredible rate, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right on that. It's like once you see it, you feel, even though you weren't there, you witnessed it. So all of a sudden, it sparks more action out of you.
You know, for years, I've heard people, whenever they talk about things like this, they always go, and maybe this will lead to a discussion about, or maybe now we can have a discussion about this and stuff like that. And I always say to myself, that's just something people say.
Yeah.
That's just something to push it down the line. Oh, good. Now we can have a discussion about it. No, don't discuss it. Solve it. Fix it. Make people realize that we're all kind of the same, that, you know, just because you worship a different God or don't worship a God or you're a different color or you're from a different area of the world, it's a ridiculous way to single somebody out and go, no, we're too different. Celebrate the differences.
Yeah, I agree.
That's why I'm running for state senate. I don't approve this message, and neither should you listening. What dire straits would anybody be in if I was running for office? Wouldn't that tell you, uh-oh, we've hit rock bottom and then some?
That's when I would really think the world has ended, or will be very shortly. Wait, Bill Left's throwing his hat into the political arena?
Yeah. I gotta get a bicentennial colored suit and start wearing that all over the place.
I think Pete McMurray has one you can borrow.
I'm positive. I'm absolutely positive he does. I gotta wrestle it off of him.
He only wears it on the 4th of July, so you should be good.
Yeah. Wendy, you know what else I was thinking? This is the first Halloween in I don't know how long that we have not been visited by our friend Sven Gulli.
Yeah, I know.
Very sad.
I just love him.
I was in his studio the other day.
Braggart.
What?
Braggart.
I forget what a magical place his studio is, but I was in there because our TV show shoots in the same complex as his, and we went in to do some photography, and there was his studio, and it really does, it warms you up. It's like, hey, that's where all the magic happens, right over there.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing. We went to see him receive an award. What was that award at the Museum of Broadcast Communications?
It was a Lifetime Achievement Award, right?
Yeah, I think that was it. And my whole family went. We posed with a picture, or posed with him for a picture, and it was a great ceremony. And I just adore him. And it's funny because, you know, Jim and I have been watching Svengoolie on and off for many, many years before it was Son of Svengoolie, when it was Jerry G. Bishop. I mean, it's been part of our lives. Michael's watched it here and there, and Dylan sort of did. But after we went to that award ceremony at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, it's like it is constantly being recorded. Dylan has a big gripe because it's not listed as Svengoolie. You have to go in and look up the name of the movie so you can record it.
Oh,
and that makes it a little more difficult. So I hope your show is called by its name and not the cartoons that you show, because I want to tape it and watch it every day.
No, I think they'll go with the name of the show. They'll go with Tune In With Me, I think. I hope, anyway. Do you know the story about him and Mark Ruffalo?
I think so.
He told the story about he was doing one of the comic book conventions about a year and a half ago. And I have to tell you from experience, whenever he does any kind of a public outing, a signing, he gets a ton of people. I mean, the people just line up like crazy. I was at a toy show a couple years ago and saw this line that wrapped around the building. And I went, who's here? Who's getting this many people to see them? And it was Rich. It was Svengoolie. So at one of the Comic-Con shows, he was there, and Mark Ruffalo was walking past his booth because, you know, he's the Hulk, you know. So it's not just Mark Ruffalo, but it's a bunch of people around him hurrying him off. And Mark Ruffalo sees Svengoolie and he goes, wait a minute, that's Svengoolie. He was so excited. So he came over and they did some pictures. And he was telling him what a huge fan he is. Mark Ruffalo grew up in Wisconsin in Kenosha, and he's been watching Svengoolie for 25 years or 30 years. And he was telling him stories. And they keep saying to him, Mr. Ruffalo, we're supposed to be there a minute and a half ago. And he kept saying to his handlers, I know, but this is Svengoolie. I got to talk to him. I've always wanted to meet him. He was so in awe of him.
Well, I guess I didn't know that story. I know Mark Hamill is a big fan. And
yeah.
They have communicated with one another, and on social media, I believe it was her Instagram page, Lady Gaga was wearing one of the chicken chucker jackets, the hoodies. So, I mean, that's just blowing me away. He's an icon, man.
Gilbert Gottfried, a huge fan.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on. I mean, now that he's national, people get to see him all over the country and beyond, and, you know, he remains such a nice guy. Jim Roach is his executive producer. They pack more jokes into that show than any show on television. They just lace it with jokes and, yeah, really funny guys, both of them. But I will miss him this Halloween because we've had a tradition. I think we've done that 5 or 6 years in a row with him, right?
Yeah, but you have a connection. Why didn't you book him for today so we could have talked to him?
No, that would have made sense.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't know what I was thinking or not thinking. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean,
we'll figure it out.
Can we talk to him after Halloween? Because he's probably, like, super busy. I mean, Svengoolie's on every weekend,
Yes.
So why don't we try and arrange something afterwards? You have
a
connection.
Yes. Yes. Our locker. We're in the same locker room now. All right. So here's a question that I think you'll enjoy. And I've given you absolutely no time to prepare for it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You're going to sit down and watch a movie. This is a Halloween special question, Wendy. You're going to sit down and watch a movie that you know is going to scare you. What's the movie?
You know, can I think a little out loud here?
Yes. Show your work.
Because of my son Dylan's love for Svengoolie, Dylan has decided to watch a horror movie, 31 horror movies. He's watching one a day for the whole month of October. And it's been a big pain in my ass because Dylan will come up to me and say, what should I watch? And I'm like, have you seen The Exorcist? He's like, I'm saving that for the last week. I said, have you seen The Brood? He goes, oh, that doesn't sound like something I would like. By the way, he watched it. He loved it.
Yeah, it's good.
The Thing with Kurt Russell, that was awesome.
Yeah.
All these movies he has been running past me, and I'm trying to remember the scariest of all time. That's so hard for me.
Yeah.
I know this sounds stupid. The Ring really scared me.
What is it?
The Ring.
The Ring? Now, the American version or the Asian version of The Ring?
I think probably the American version.
Yeah.
That really scared me. Psycho was Rosemary's Baby. I can't come to one. The Omen was really The Exorcist.
Those are all classics. You've not thrown away a single title. Every one of those is really, really good.
I can't do like a top one. Do you have a top one?
My favorite scary movie of all time isn't the scariest, but I just think it's the best made scary movie, and that is Rosemary's Baby. That's Roman Polanski's Rosemary's Baby. I've seen it a ton of times. It works every time I see it. It's just so great. But if I was going for just out and out scary, I might go with The Mist.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I know
Stephen King movie, The Mist, really, really good. Do you know the movie Let the Right One In?
No.
Do you like Swedish vampire movies?
Oh God, yes.
They have done two versions of this movie. They made one in Sweden, and then 2 years later, they made an American version. They're both really, really good. I like the Swedish version a little bit more because it's just a little bit creepier. It's got just enough European edge on it to make it a little bit weirder than the American version, but both versions are pretty close. And it is about a child that is a vampire who has been around forever and lives in an apartment complex. And it's I know. Oh, not that old story. How many times do I have to sit through that? But both versions are really good and really scary. You mentioned The Omen. You know, boy, is that a great movie. I love that movie. I've got a bunch of them that I go to. The Mist I usually watch around Halloween every year. I've not seen it yet this year. But it's my favorite adaptation of a Stephen King story because it's the only one I can think of where they made it scarier than the book. All the other ones, like The Shining, even though he hates it, Stephen King himself hates Kubrick's version of The Shining. The Mist is the only one that I can remember of his work where the story was scary, but the movie is even better.
Yeah, I forgot about The Shining. That's a pretty great movie.
Yeah, yeah. It depends on what you're in the mood for. I always like the ones that are a little more suspenseful. You know, the slasher movies have their place, certainly, but when it's characters you don't care about, like with slasher movies, a lot of times they just show you somebody and then they kill them. And you go, oh, I didn't really care about that guy anyway, so it doesn't bother me. But with the more suspenseful movies, like in Rosemary's Baby, you care about Rosemary Woodhouse. You don't want anything bad to happen to Rosemary Woodhouse, and then you get the story.
And there was a movie, I know we argue on this because I don't know which is right, but it was a really old movie, and it was The Haunting or The Haunting of Hull House or something like that.
The Legend of Hull House, maybe?
No, it's Hull House. It's a really old movie. It was in black and white, and I can't remember. Maybe
is it The Legend of Bobby Hull House?
That's scary in its own right.
You gotta want it.
Maybe it's just The Haunting.
The Haunting was, yeah, is it based on Turn of the Screw? Do you know? The story, Turn of the Screw?
Yeah, the story, I don't know that it is.
About a governess who takes care of kids in an old house?
I don't remember. I just know it was black and white. There's a 1963 film.
Yeah, that's going to be it, I bet. That sounds right.
I think that's it, The Haunting. That really scared the crap out of me.
There's a winding staircase in it.
Yeah.
Is that the one? Yeah, that's The Haunting. Let me also recommend these. I'm sure you've seen one or both of these, but they're both great. And I put them together, even though the stories are nowhere near similar, only because of the titles. The first one is The Other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That should be on the list.
The twin brothers, Niles and Holland. That's a Tom Tryon novel that they turned into a movie. First movie appearance of a young John Ritter, by the way, in that movie.
Was that Oliver Reed?
No.
What was his? Oh, his was The Brood, right?
He's in The Brood.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Samantha Agar.
Yeah.
The other one is The Others. The stories have nothing to do with each other. but that's a Nicole Kidman movie where she's a little overprotective of her kids and you don't know why. Really great movie, great twist, not twist ending, but twist in the story. But it'll scare you. It's a very scary movie.
I think I've seen that.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Again, you know, I don't remember movies I've seen, so I'm pretty sure I saw that, and it was great.
Yeah, yeah. And I do have to say, there have been a couple of things on TV over the years. I think you and I discussed this once. They did a version of Salem's Lot on television with David Soule, who we all know best from Starsky and Hutch, and Lance Kerwin from James at 15. And there's a scene in that with a boy named Danny Glick, who is, he is now dead. He's a vampire and he's coming to get his friend. He's coming to claim his living friend. And he's floating outside of his bedroom window and knocking on the glass. And it is so unbelievably scary, even though it's a TV made miniseries, that imagery. And I've talked about other people that love scary movies. And whenever I bring that up, they go, I had to hide under my couch for a week after I saw that. Same thing with Trilogy of Terror with Karen Black and the fetish doll. That's just crazy scary.
That is, oh God, I forgot to tell him about that one for a movie. Yeah. We're running out of days too.
But the sad thing about Trilogy of Terror is it's three separate stories and it's really only that last one that's good. The other two are okay.
Yeah.
But it's the thing about the fetish doll that is really, really scary. Even if you watch the made-for-TV movie Kolchak, The Night Stalker, that's really scary too.
Said no one ever.
No, it is. Believe me.
I know. I do remember that.
It's real. It's weird because they played it half for laughs and half scary. But the scenes that are scary are really scary.
And what was that the basis of?
The show, it was called Kolchak, The Night Stalker with Darren McGavin.
Right. I know that. But didn't that inspire somebody to do some, I can't remember it. I'm getting
all
my. Well,
the guys who did The X-Files.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Chris Carter, was that his name?
Yeah.
He was a huge fan and actually brought Darren McGavin on an episode and they wanted him to play Kolchak in the episode. But Dan Curtis Productions, who owned it, wouldn't give them the name. They wouldn't allow him to play the same character. So they had to change the name.
What is this with competition and networks fighting? I mean, can't we all get along?
Not anymore.
I don't like that. Just really, you know, everybody be nice and be kind to one another and the cream will rise to the top.
Yes. So true, Wendy. So true. So on Halloween night, do you guys all gather together and watch a scary movie? Because I used to try to suggest that to my family and it gets voted down every year.
We're all starting to realize that we like watching movies alone because when I watch a movie, and now that you're not going to theaters anymore, everybody talks or says something. I used to watch movies with my mom, and it would just crack me up because she'd go, oh, isn't that Shirley Jones? Remember she was, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. It's like I just kind of don't want anybody to take me out of the element.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what's wrong with that? You don't, that makes sense.
Yeah, but it's nice to like sit down with the whole family. I think the last movie we watched together was during the pandemic, during the lockdown. It maybe it was 3-4 months ago. We all watched Goodfellas together. But it was Jim and I were kind of annoying because we've seen it so many times that, you know, oh, this take is one scene that, you know, in the camera when they're walking in to the rest. And it's like, you know, we're doing quotes. I guess Jim and I were pretty annoying to the boys while they were watching it. So
did they come away from it appreciating how great a movie it is, or were they just annoyed?
Oh, they loved it so much.
Okay, good.
I mean, we didn't ruin it for them, but they both had to watch it alone by them, you know, watch it again by themselves, because you miss a lot when mom and dad are drinking and irritating you. What do you mean funny? I mean, you know, Jim's really good at remembering lines of a movie. Usually we just get that with Star Wars, but I think Jim was channeling Joe Pesci. It was kind of annoying.
Every once in a while, like I would say Terry and I, in all the years we've been together, have probably been to a movie theater together to see a movie 500 times,
yeah,
you know, somewhere in that range. And there's always the obligatory, what'd you think? And then just a little conversation. And then if we're going out to dinner, we'll bring up the movie again and talk about it. But every once in a while, a movie will be so great, like Goodfellas, that you're so taken by the scope of it that you can't stop talking. Like, as soon as we get out of the theater, we just look at each other and we're like, wow, you know, and it doesn't happen often. You know, the percentage is sadly very low that it just knocks you off your feet. But every once in a while, like Goodfellas, you just go, that was a masterpiece.
I know. And I know that The Godfather is your favorite movie. And I think I said something to the boys that I might like Goodfellas better than The Godfather. And Dylan's like, Mom, there's room for both. I guess not everything's a competition, but I don't know. I just loved Goodfellas so much.
Yeah. It's such a great movie. Everything about it is so great. Wendy, we have to say goodbye. It's the end of today's podcast. It's the end of the episode. If you're up for it, I say we do this again, different words in different orders, but we can try this again next week.
I would say yes. I'm anxious to hear if you put together a candy shoot. I don't know if I'm going to do that. I may just turn all my lights off, and I'll report how many eggs were whipped at my house.
All right. That's fair. That's absolutely fair. All right, so tune in again next week for more exciting episodes. That's it for us for today. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.